The next scripture reading will come from Ephesians chapter 5. And we will read we'll just read the whole chapter, and the sermon will be taken from the second part of this chapter. But we will read the first 21 verses, excuse me, of chapter 5. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ has also loved us, and given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. The fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let not be named among you as is fitting for the saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words. Because of all these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers of them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. First of all, Lord, we ask your blessing on the reading of this word, and we ask that you would plant your word in our hearts that it might bear fruit in our lives. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. We've seen here as Paul has, as we travel through the book of Ephesians, Paul has shown us the great mercy and wonderful love that we have in Christ Jesus. He's prayed that we would grow in the unsearchable riches of Christ, that we would learn more and more of the breadth and depth and width of the love that is in Christ Jesus. In chapter 4, he has begun to then explain how we ought to live now that we know these truths. And we've seen how he's gone through the second table of the law. We talked about how he has now changed us to be his children. And in the last half of or in the last section here of chapter 5, specifically 8 through 21, we see that he then also now talks about us as children of the light. Wanting us to see that we are no longer as we once were, as he says in verse 8, which we were once darkness, but that now we are light. He wants us to walk as children of the light in verse 8. Paul now is addressing our sanctification, our growth in the grace of Jesus Christ. And God through Paul is now saying, walk this way. Walk as children of the light. He even calls us to be wise for the days of evil, because Paul is warning us right up front here that there is warfare in this world. Warfare between darkness and light. That the two do not coexist. They can't coexist. Where light is, there is not darkness. Where darkness is, there is no light. And he is saying you were once darkness, but now you are light. You're not a blend of darkness and light. We're not to walk as that. There's no gray in this world. There's no in-between. There's no middle place. Paul wants us to be aware that there is a warfare between light and dark. Which he hinted at earlier when he called us in chapter 2, sons of disobedience. That we walked according to the prince of the power of the air, not according to the one true God. We were disobedient. We did our own things. We were children of wrath. For as John says about light and darkness in his first chapter of his gospel, the darkness hated the light. We were once like that. We hated the light too, but now we are different because we have been saved. Because there is that but God who sent His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for us. Because we have been saved by grace through faith, which is not of ourselves. Now we are no longer in darkness. Now we are children of the light. Today, too often, we think in terms of gray, we think of middle grounds, and we think of synthesis, and that's just the way the modern mind works. In the more ancient world, it would have been much clearer that this is a contrast. There's light and there's dark, and there's no in between, and there's a warfare between the two. You can't have it both ways. You can't be a child of the light, but yet revel in the pleasures of darkness. Paul makes it clear in verse 7, and again later in the chapter, he says, don't even be partakers with them. There's not even to be fellowship with these things. Because the deeds of the darkness aren't to be even mentioned among the children of the light. It shouldn't even be brought up as something that happens. Verse 12, for it's shameful even to speak of those things that are done in secret, that are done in the darkness, that are done by those who are darkness. Those things aren't to be named. Because the light and the darkness have no fellowship. You're not to be partakers. Think of Paul in 1 Corinthians. What does the temple of God have to do with the temple of the law? What does light have to do with darkness? Christ with demons. Nothing. They have no fellowship whatsoever, and therefore we are to have nothing to do with the deeds of darkness. And we are not to partake of the darkness. Notice rather what we are called to do here. In verse 13. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. But whatever makes manifest is light. We are called to expose the deeds of darkness. Because that's what light does. When light shines into a room, it chases away the dark and it reveals whatever was hidden by the darkness. And as children of light, that's what we ought to be doing. We ought to be exposing the darkness, shining the light into the dark places. And this is not to be taken as only external. As if the job of the Christian is to go around and expose other people's sins and sinful ways. But rather, this is also to expose our own deeds and darkness. We must let the light shine within us and make manifest with us. As he said earlier in chapter 4, put off the old ways and put on the new man. Put away lying. Put away these things. Put off concerning your former conduct, the old man which goes corrupt according to deceitful lust. Verse 22 of chapter 4. Expose those deeds. But Paul also, in addition to telling us that there's warfare between the light and the dark, goes ahead and tells us who's won. This is not a warfare that's still up in the air and it can go either way. This is a warfare that has been won. The victory is in Jesus. As vile and as awful as the darkness is, it can be overcome. In fact, he tells us it has been overcome in verse 8. You were once darkness, but now you are light. Because the victory has already been won. Walk that way then, he says. Walk as children of the light because you have been saved. Because Jesus Christ has won the war. He brings it up again in verse 14 when he quotes as a summary of Old Testament. This is not a direct quote, but more a summary of many things that take place in Isaiah. In verse 14, when he says, "Awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you life." He is going to Isaiah to remind us of this victory we have in Christ, and that our ultimate goal in the warfare is to call others to the light. He's probably combining verses such as Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1, where he says, "Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee." Isaiah 26:19 may also be in view here, where he says, "Awake and sing, ye that dwell in the dust." Of course, that more familiar verse of Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2. "The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. And they that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them the light hath shined." In a verse where he talks about the coming Messiah and the work that has been done and accomplished by him. "That those who were in darkness have seen the great light." That great light is Jesus Christ. "Arise, shine, thy light has come, for the glory of the Lord has risen upon you." Paul wants us to know that there is a warfare between light and dark, but he also doesn't want us to lose sight of the fact that the war has already been won by Jesus Christ. "That he who is the great light has shined upon us who are in the valley of the shadow of death." Though we who walked in darkness, or as Paul says in verse 8, who were once walked in darkness, who were once were darkness, we have now been given the light of Jesus Christ. Paul summarizes these themes of Isaiah and specifically applies it to Christ and says, "And Christ will give you light." Because, "But now you are light in the Lord," lest we forget where that light comes from. It is God. It is Christ who is that light. And he has changed us from darkness into light because he has overcome the darkness on the cross. When he paid the price for our sins, when he tore the veil in two in the temple from top to bottom, when he rose again on the third day, death had no more power over him. Sin was defeated. And in Christ, we too can have victory over sin. Not anywhere else. Not in our own strength, lest we should boast, as Paul says in chapter 2. And Christ will give you life. Paul is directing their attention back to Jesus Christ. "Remember where you came from," he said. An aid of sanctification, in bringing to mind that they were darkness and now they are light. And the reason they are light is not their own effort, not their own greatness, but is the greatness of Jesus Christ, of his work and what he has accomplished. A major part of sanctification, then, is never forgetting our justification. That we have been made right with the Lord by Christ. And that in Christ, we are light. You are now light in the Lord. Not outside the Lord. Not on your own, but in the Lord. In other words, growing in Christ involves and is founded upon the grace that saved us in the first place, and how that was completely the work of Jesus Christ. Paul is reminding them here, without using the phrase, to avoid the error of the Galatians. You were born with the Spirit. Don't try to walk in the flesh. Walk in the Lord. If you are to expose the deeds of the darkness, you must be in the one who is light in and of himself, and who made you children of the light through his grace and through his strength, through his victory on Calvary. Which leads into the applications of verse 15 through 21, where it says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, remembering the time because the days are evil. Don't be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Don't be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit." Sadly, this is a term that we don't often use in the Reformed Church, being filled with the Spirit because of the abuses that is common within certain sections of Christendom. And being filled with the Spirit now is almost synonymous with being crazy and out of one's mind. But that's not what Paul's talking about here. Saying be filled with the Spirit, a term that the Bible uses quite often. It talks about Barnabas being filled with the Spirit, Stephen being filled with the Spirit. You can go through the book of Acts and see others who are filled with the Spirit. Here he tells us all, be filled with the Spirit. Because it's the power of God and sanctification that we need. Notice in this small section, the Father, Son, and Spirit are all mentioned. Be filled with the Spirit, giving thanks always, in verse 20 there, to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. What we need in order to grow in grace and to be sanctified more and more continually is the power of God, to be filled with His Spirit. After being saved by His Son and chosen by the Father, Paul's actually contrasting being filled with the Spirit here with being drunk with wine. Don't be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. I think Paul is still here building on the distinction between light and darkness. He is taking things that often happen in the darkness and saying, don't be like that anymore, but rather get your joy from another place. The pleasures of the world are contrasted with the pleasures of God. We don't take our strength from the fruit of the vine or the fruit of the Spirit, or from the fruit of the vine, but rather from the fruit of the Spirit. Usually, or often, or at least it's what we often talk about. Major assemblies and parties of this world, those things that take place in the darkness, often involve the debauchery. Being filled with not the Spirit, but with wine. And Paul says, just as he says earlier, no longer take place in that. Do not find your comfort in the worldly pleasures and in losing yourself and in drowning yourself, but rather find your pleasures now in Christ Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit. This is what we as Christians are called to do. Do you wish to grow in sanctification? Then shun those things that were of darkness and move on into the world. I don't think Paul is saying here that you can never drink wine. But rather, I think he is talking about the wine that leads to dissipation, that leads to debauchery, that leads to those things. That sort of behavior and abusing the gifts of the Lord and the fruit of the vine must be rejected in order instead to have an attitude where we take our joy not in temporary pleasures and things that pass and things that are fleeting, but taking our joy rather in Christ Jesus, in the Spirit. And he goes on to say, giving thanks always. Or excuse me, 19, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Paul here, I think, talks of worship. Psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. He's gone from the assemblies of the ungodly that use wine and lead to dissipation, being filled with the Spirit, into the assemblies of the Lord where psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and thanksgiving to God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ take place. There should be encouraging and teaching, which is the phrase that Colossians in a similar passage uses, teaching one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Here he says encouraging one another with psalms and hymns and here's spiritual songs, but also thanking God in the name of Christ Jesus. And thus, I think Paul directs us to a primary means of our sanctification, the worship of God. Assembling together in order to sing His praises and give Him thanks for what He has done will help us grow in grace. We often desire to go before the throne of grace and worship Him and sing His praises over and over, to hear His word, to attend to the worship of the Lord. Psalm 27 verse 4 says, dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. That ought to be our desire. That we would be in the house of God, able to worship Him, not just on Sundays, but all the days of our life. To look forward to that eternity where that will be our occupation, praising Him and being in His presence. Psalm 92 verse 13, those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of God. I think another reference to sanctification, those who worship the Lord with psalms and hymns and spiritual laws, who come and give thanks and who assemble before Him in order to worship Him, they will flourish and they will grow. That's the tree that's planted beside the river of life. It grows and bears fruit. The one who avoids the worship of the Lord, who avoids the Word of God, who avoids joining together with his fellow brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus and singing praises to the Lord, that's the one who will be the chaff that will be driven around by the wind. Using the imagery of Psalm 1. If you are to grow and walk as children of the light, then the main thing we must make sure we are doing is worshiping God, the one who is light, where we can let His light shine upon us, where we can take advantage of the means of grace. Too often we think about sanctification as something that happens outside. Maybe it happens in our bedrooms at home when we're just by ourselves. Or maybe it happens as we go through trials and through temptations. And surely the Lord does grow us through these things. But Paul wants to make sure we see the primary means is with the worship of Him. If we are to stand fast in the day of trouble, we must make sure we have been planted in the house of the Lord. That is how we shall flourish. Which leads me to a few points of application. And the first is that you must understand that even though the victory is won, we are still in the war. There is still a battle of light and darkness that goes on. We must walk as children of the light, walk knowing who has won the victory, walk according to Him and being like Him and following in His light, or else we will be consumed. We can no longer go to the darkness. We cannot flee the light that is in the Lord, or else we will return again to the darkness. We must make sure that we are not partakers with the deeds of darkness and those who would teach and preach darkness. We must make sure that we are finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. In verse 10, walking as wise because the days are evil. Verse 16, understanding what the will of the Lord is. Verse 17. The way we walk as children of the light is finding out what the Lord would have us do, searching His Word, exposing the deeds of darkness, those that are even in our own hearts and our own souls, the idol factory that is our heart. Because it's related to the second point of application, we will not survive the war on our own strength. If we miss that little prepositional phrase in verse 8, but you are now like in the Lord, we will miss it all. If we were to take what Paul is telling us here in Ephesians and read things such as walk as children of the light and go forth to try to do such things on our own strength, then we will fail. It is only in the Lord. It is only because we are searching out the will of the Lord. It is only by being filled with the Spirit that we can walk as children of the light. We must not even attempt it on our own. Lest we forget the lesson of the seven sons of Sceva in the book of Acts, who had seen Paul and had seen Peter and others who were casting out demons. And so they went and tried to cast out demons on their own. They even used the name of the Lord. They said, oh, that must be how you do it. And they went and said, in the name of Jesus, we cast you out. And the demon says, I know who Jesus is. I even know who Paul is. But I don't know you at all. And he beat all seven of them. And stripped them of their clothes and cast them out in the street. They tried it on their own strength. They tried it without a heart that was full of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. They thought they could do it if they just had the right incantation, or if they just did the right things. Maybe if they just attended church every Sunday morning. That they could walk as the children of the light on their own power, on their own street. And it didn't work. Nor will it for us. We must make sure that we are always in the Lord Jesus Christ, which leads me to a third final application. The way we grow in Jesus Christ is through the worship of Him. Speaking to one another in songs and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. These are the things that must take place. And they take place primarily in the assembly of the saints. When we gather together and when we worship. When we join our voices together and lift our hearts up, singing praises to Him who is above. When we sit and hear His Word read and preached. When we partake of the sacraments. These are the things that will help us grow in our sanctification, and grow in grace, grow in the depth of the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those things that Paul has prayed for in the first part of Ephesians can now take place. Let us go to Him and pray. Gracious Lord, we do come before You acknowledging that on our own we are not. But in You, Lord, we have all that we need. We've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Gracious Lord, help us walk as children of the light. Show us what Your will is. Help us understand what Your will is. Give us a heart that longs to be in Your courts, that longs to be in Your house and to sing Your praises. We ask these things. Fill us with Your Spirit, and we ask these things in the name above all names, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.